Living with eosinophilic esophagitis, or EOE, it's not easy. Between being misdiagnosed and managing symptoms like difficulty swallowing and food getting stuck in my esophagus, it can be challenging. I learned to deal with it by using coping habits like drinking water after every bite I take, or I cut food into small pieces. But I had enough of the status quo of EOE.
Is it time for you to stand up to your EOE status quo? There are ways to manage your condition. Dupixent or dupilumab is the first and only FDA-approved prescription medicine of its kind for adults and children 1 year and older who weigh at least 33 pounds.
If you're ready to stand up to EOE like I was, it's time to ask your doctor about Dupixent.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away if you have trouble breathing or wheezing or swelling of your face, mouth, tongue, or throat. Tell your doctor of new or worsening joint aches and pain or a parasitic infection or asthma. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Learn how you can stand up to your EOE status quo at standuptoeoe.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
When energy dips, your reviving routine deserves more than a quick fix. Reach for Vital Proteins Collagen and Protein Shake and Chocolate. With 30 grams of protein and 10 grams of collagen peptides, it helps support healthy hair, skin, nails, and joints in a smooth, ready-to-drink shake. So your afternoon reset actually sets you up for success. Vital Proteins. Stay vital. Visit VitalProteins.com and get started.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, she thought of herself as a hopeful skeptic. Then one night she went on an overnight investigation and might have just found what she'd been looking for.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hey there, it is, and thank you so much for listening. And you know, if you have a real ghost story, you can share it with us. Call it in, leave us a voicemail at 855-853-4802. Write it down at realghoststoriesonline.com. If you would like to become a premium subscriber, get the advanced episodes, access to the archive, no commercials, sign up through Apple Podcasts, or sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories. I'm Carol Hughes. Harper's with me today.
Hello, hello, hello. How are you?
I'm good, hon. So what about... maybe not at your age because you're 13, but maybe someday, would you be open to doing an overnight paranormal investigation somewhere?
Oh, I'd do that now.
You'd have absolutely to sign all the waivers.
I would have to sign a plethora of like waivers, but I would absolutely do it.
Actually, it'd be your dad signing all the waivers. They're like, we don't let anyone under 17 in here.
My dad questioning his life choices as he signs said waivers. Like, why is my daughter like this? Why?
No, he would be, no. Your dad, he'd be like, I am so proud of her. She is my kid. I love this about my daughter. So do you have, is there any place that you have heard of that you would be interested in going on an overnight investigation?
The Amityville Horror House?
I don't know that you can do that one. It seems like that is a private residence again.
Sadly, yeah.
I think I heard that recently. Now, there are, there's so many creepy places. Now, we are going to go to the Villisca Axe Murder House next summer, you and me.
Oh, I am so excited for that.
But not, but not an overnight investigation because you're going with me and you know I won't do that. But the daytime tour I think will be awesome.
Yeah, I think we're going to have a great time. I am so excited for that one.
Yeah, and so we'll have to find, you know, because we'll be in Iowa, and there's another location, the Farrar School, I think it is, isn't far from there, and there's another big one that's not too far from there. So maybe we can get more than one in.
Huzzah, that's like a great time.
We'll do one place, and then we'll spend the night at a nice Motel 6. Only the best for you.
We're going ghost hopping.
Yes. But, you know, you can spend the night. Like, when I recently did an episode about the Villisca Axe Murder House on the Grave Talks, I'm trying to remember, but I'm pretty sure she said you rent it from 6 p.m. to 9 a.m. Like, you are there for a long time.
Oh.
So you would be sleeping there. Isn't that crazy?
I mean... I would do it.
I know you would. And I'd come get you the next morning, 9 o'clock. I'd be out there in the car waiting to pick you up. And I'd be like, did you say you have to stay? Now, how did you leave? How did you exit the home? Is anything following you?
"No, Harpo, only Zoo" is what you would hear. That's the only thing you would hear.
I would be like, "Tony, come get your daughter. She's got stuff attached to her." Well, here is a story about a paranormal investigation overnight. So it says, "I've always been the kind of person who wants the paranormal to be real, but also doesn't really trust it. I wouldn't call myself sensitive, intuitive, gifted, or anything like that. I'm more of a show me the evidence type, except for I'm rooting for the evidence the whole time, if that makes any sense. Friends joke that I'm a hopeful skeptic. I'll watch every ghost hunting show, read every book, and gladly spend money to visit haunted places. But I'm also the person asking, okay, but could that be the pipes? Or are we sure that's not someone outside? I want something undeniable, something that doesn't require a stretch. That mindset is probably why I've gone on more ghost tours and investigations than most people who actually believe. I figure if there's something real, I will eventually run into it. For years, nothing ever happened. I'd get creeped out. Old buildings do that to you. Your brain fills in gaps when it's dark and quiet. I felt uncomfortable, uneasy, watched, but never enough to say, yep, that was something. I always walked away thinking, cool place, great stories, but nothing personal. Until one night that changed how I think about all of it. This happened a few years ago during an overnight investigation at an abandoned medical facility in the Midwest. I won't name it because the location really isn't the point. And honestly, it wasn't even on my top 10 most haunted places list. I went because a friend invited me and I had a free weekend. The group was small. There was about six of us. We were two were serious investigators who brought equipment. The rest of us were curious tag-alongs who promised not to mess around. There were rules: no running, no shouting, no provoking, no pretending you felt something if you didn't. That last rule mattered a lot to me. The building itself was massive and half collapsed in places, long hallways, peeling paint, rooms that felt frozen in time. Some windows were broken out, which meant you could hear wind, distant traffic, animals, basically a debunker's dream and nightmare at the same time. Every sound had a possible explanation, which I appreciated. We split up into pairs, rotated through different sections of the building. Most of the night was uneventful, creaks, cold spots that turned out to be drafts. One person thought they heard footsteps until we realized another group was directly above us. Around 2 a.m., we regrouped on the second floor near what used to be a children's ward. That detail was mentioned casually, almost as an afterthought, but it stuck with me. The rooms were smaller there, lower windows, faded murals still visible on the walls if you hit them just right with a low light. Someone suggested we sit quietly for a while instead of actively investigating. No equipment, no questions, just see what happens. I like that idea. Less pressure, less expectation. We sat on the floor in a loose circle, backs against a wall, lights off. At first, it was just uncomfortable silence. Your legs fall asleep, your mind wanders, you become very aware of your own breathing. And then I noticed something strange, not scary, just odd. I kept getting the overwhelming urge to look to my right. Not because I heard anything, not because I saw movement, just a persistent pull, like when someone is standing too close to you and you can feel it without seeing them. I told myself it was nothing. I shifted positions. It kept happening. After a few minutes, I leaned over and whispered to the person next to me, asking if they felt weird too, and they shook their head no. That should have been the end of it. Confirmation bias shut down. Except the feeling didn't stop. It actually got stronger. Not threatening, not cold, just present. Eventually, one of the investigators quietly turned on a small recorder and asked if anyone wanted to speak. No one rushed to say anything. I almost didn't either. I didn't want to be that person, the one who ruins the credibility of the group by overreacting. But before I could stop myself, I said, "Is there anyone here who wants company?" The word surprised me as much as everyone else. That's not something I'd normally ask. I'm usually very careful with language in situations like that. The room stayed silent. Then from the hallway behind me came the soft, unmistakable sound of bare feet on tile. Not footsteps marching, not running, just a slow shuffle, a pause, then another step. Every hair on my arm stood up. I didn't move. No one did. The investigator nearest the doorway slowly turned on a light, dim red, barely enough to see. The hallway was empty. No shadows pulling away, no figures vanishing, just an empty corridor and that awful realization that we had all heard the same thing. Someone whispered, "That wasn't outside." And they were right. The windows were at the far end of the wing. The sound had come from inside the building. We stayed there a few more minutes, but the mood had shifted. No one felt relaxed anymore. It wasn't panic, just a shared understanding that something had crossed from interesting into paranormal. As we packed up, one of the investigators asked me why I'd asked that question. I told him I didn't know. That's when he said something I still think about all the time. He told me that throughout the night, the equipment barely reacted except when I spoke. Small EMF spikes, subtle audio anomalies, nothing dramatic enough to call evidence on its own, but enough to notice a pattern. I laughed it off at the time, coincidence, random fluctuation. I didn't feel special or chosen or anything like that. But here's the part I can't explain away. On the drive home the next morning, exhausted and quiet, I realized something about that feeling I'd had, the pull to look to my right, the sense of presence. It was the exact same feeling I get when a kid is standing next to me trying to get my attention without saying anything. Because I've worked with kids most of my life, babysitting, volunteering, helping friends, they gravitate toward me. I'm the person they sit next to, the one they tug on when they're too shy to speak. I've never connected that feeling to anything paranormal before. I still don't know what we encountered that night. I can't say for sure it was a ghost. I can't prove it was something else, but I do know that for the first time in my life, I didn't feel like I was chasing an experience. It felt like something noticed me, and for a hopeful skeptic, that might have been the most unsettling thing of all for me. That is from Dawn, as in D-A-W-N. You know, that kind of does make sense. If children are gravitate toward her and they're in or near the children's ward of this hospital.
Yeah.
It sounds like a child trying to get her attention.
Oh, definitely. I mean, like, if children just in general tend to gravitate toward her, then I mean, kids can feel people's energy. Like, as strange as that sounds, like, I remember being a kid and being, like, able to tell who's a creep, who's not a creep. You know what I mean?
You kind of get, you can feel who someone is safe. You know, you feel safe around them.
Yeah. I mean, animals do the same thing. I mean, like, animals will tend to, like, go to people they feel are safe to be around.
Yeah, very much. Very much so.
So, I mean, it's probably that there's no reason that effect would not translate into, like, being a ghost. And I'm sure that's probably what was just happening there. Probably a kid probably felt really safe around that person. And they were like, "Hey, you wanna hang out?"
Yeah. Or just, like, I wonder too, you know, with the paranormal, like, if you are a child spirit, this is what always makes me so sad. Wouldn't you be lonely? Are there other children there? Are you just looking for a maternal spirit that you're drawn to? You know, I just have so many questions about child spirits.
Yeah.
I don't like the idea of it because I want all the children to move on and to whatever's next.
Yeah.
That big ass void. I don't know that's any safer for anybody.
The light.
Right? I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
But just the idea of just being, you know, so maybe there's other kids there. I don't know. But that's probably my takeaway from that whole experience would be, like, I want to help. And I don't know how to help. That was a good story.
That was a really great story.
Well, let's go to this phone call.
Hey, so I love your podcast. I clean houses for a living, and that's literally all I listen to on repeat. And I thought I would call in with my creepy story. So I downloaded this app called GhostTube, and I was really skeptical about it, obviously, because it's from your phone. So I wasn't really expecting it to work and kind of just, like, walked around. It had an EMF reader on it, and it spiked up on certain things that had electromagnetic fields coming from it. And I was able to debunk that. It only worked on things that had electricity running through it. So I knew that was working. But it spits out a bunch of words based on the electromagnetic field that is getting thrown at the phone. So I was at my friend's house and we were doing a little seance. And I was holding my grandfather's necklace that is around my neck. I wear it 24/7. And I was asking, we were just sitting down holding hands and we were asking if there was anyone here for me. And the minute I grabbed the necklace on my neck, the app spit out grandfather. And then it said Lisa. And Lisa is my mom's name. So it literally gave me full body shivers. Like, this is crazy. There's no way this app could know my mom's name. And the minute I asked who is here with me, it said grandfather as I'm literally holding the necklace in my hand as I said that. Anyway, that was crazy. So then my friend was asking if there is anyone in the room for her. She recently just had one of her friends, rest in peace, very sad story, but she was found in her closet. She hung herself, which is very sad and tragic. But the app spit out, hung, rope, I'm so sorry. And we instantly, like, started freaking out, like, this is crazy, there's no way, like, this is crazy. And then the app said Terry. And the girl that passed away, her name was Terry Lynn. So then we were like, okay, this is crazy. So we got up and we stopped talking to the phone, like, we stopped, like, giving it acknowledgement or whatever. A couple minutes goes by and we hear a big bang, like something in her kid's room knocked over. And we thought it was like a lamp or something, but it wasn't. We got up and it was a poster on her daughter's wall. And the poster was held up with Velcro. Let me just say that, with Velcro. And it hasn't moved in that bedroom for the last like 6 years. It's been on the wall. It was physically ripped off the wall. That's the bang that we heard. It wasn't really a bang. It was kind of just a loud noise, but it was physically ripped off the wall. So we tried to recreate the situation and like we stuck it back up on the wall and I ripped it down really fast from the corner and it was the exact same noise that we heard. So whatever that was had enough energy or power or whatever to rip the poster off the wall. So she's at work, a couple weeks goes by, she's at work and somebody that she works with is a psychic medium. And they told her, like, hey, do you have things happening in your house? And she was like, well, yeah, like I had a poster ripped off my wall a couple weeks ago. And then the girl goes, okay, well, I need to come over and cleanse your house right away. Whatever that is, you do not need to mess with it. Don't do that app again. Don't have another seance. So her friend from work ended up coming over to her house and cleansing her home. And I've asked my friend to do another seance, but she's too scared to do it. She doesn't want that energy to be in her home. But anyway, that was the scariest thing that I've literally ever had happen to me. And I was not expecting, like, I wasn't expecting it. And I've always been a believer in ghosts and the paranormal and stuff. But that kind of just, like, checked it off for me. Like, that was it. A poster being physically ripped off the wall that was held up with Velcro. And it's been on the wall for 5 to 6 years. Like, that is insane. Anyway, it's a short little story. I'm going to call in. I have a few other stories, but I don't want to make this one too long. But anyway, have a great new year. I love what you guys do. I love that you have a platform and people are able to share their stories. So thank you and have a great day. Bye.
Okay. So hypothetical, you're hanging out with some of your friends and your friend's like, hey, let's have a seance.
Just casually.
Yeah. Would you do it? You know, cause
maybe, I don't know. It really depends. It depends on number one, have they done a seance safely before?
Okay, my guess is if this happens this year, your friend would be 13. So my guess would they don't know how to do it safely.
Okay, then probably not. No, I don't think so. Maybe if like they like actually knew they were like, not that they don't know what they're doing. Just like, you know, if they were like,
if no, I'm with you. I wouldn't trust somebody enough to navigate through a freaking seance.
I thought it was funny in that story where it's like, oh yeah, it's like, you want to have another seance just casually after the poster got ripped off your wall?
I can't wait.
Can't wait.
What about the ghost app thing? What do you think with that?
Look, my dad uses those, okay? I can't... Like, remember when we used to, when me and my dad used to run Dad, Daughter, and the Dead?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we would use those ghost apps. So, I mean, I think they're pretty credible, considering, like, we've gotten some pretty scarily accurate answer while just being, like, out and about doing videos like that. So, I don't know.
Because I think with them being on the phone, I don't know how they're set up or what permissions you give to it. But I do think, you know, I swear I could be talking right now about certain kind of coffee, Starbucks. And the next thing you know, you get on your phone and there's Starbucks ads.
Yeah, that's
so I think
fair.
You do have to watch what you say around it. Because, like, I was doing a ghost hunt at, well, it wasn't really. It was, they called it a ghost hunt, but it was a lot of people. So it didn't feel... It didn't feel anything like that story that was just shared.
It's
but anyway,
a ghost search and rescue group.
It kind of was like a lot of people. And so it's kind of more like we're exploring a theater at night. That's what it really was. But these girls had the ghost app open. And it said their names. And I'm like, well, it said one of their names. And I thought, I didn't say this to them. But I'm like, well, of course, because you've probably said Harper, you know, 10 times tonight, and
right.
It's repeating it. Now, the things that she got, though, were super specific, and I found that pretty interesting, actually. Like, when she was playing with the necklace, it said Grandpa, and just some very specific things.
Ooh, it gives me the heebie-jeebies.
It kind of does.
But I mean, yeah, I mean, I've used those apps before, not on my phone, but like with my dad. So I mean, like, I think they're pretty credible just from my own experience using them. But, you know.
Yeah, it just the things that she got. And, you know, but I do think, you know, once again, you kind of got to watch what you're doing with these things.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to be careful because, like, algorithms and all that stuff will just repeat anything it's fed to.
Yeah. But to me, you know, just that whole seance thing, yeah, Grandpa comes through the first time, or was it? Was it a demon pretending to be Grandpa, and the next time you do it,
dun-dun,
bum-bum-bum. You know, I just think, I don't know, messing around with stuff like that, and we've all done it. I know I've done it, but I don't think I would have a seance now. I tried it really hard when I was a kid. I was like, I'm going to have a seance. And I never
go seancing tonight.
You know, nothing ever happened at my seances.
Order a pizza. We're doing seances tonight. Family, like, game night. We're summoning things. That's what we're doing.
Yeah. And it probably got to, like, I don't want to go to a seance at Carol's house. She is no good at it. I hate Carol's seances.
She throws the worst seances.
I thought they didn't want to come to my house because it was haunted. It was just because I couldn't do a seance.
She only ever summons cats, that cat lady.
And they're actually real cats because cats seem to really like
cats
her.
Cats just show up and she calls it a seance.
It's like, hey, I summoned and look at, they showed up. I'm telling you. That's funny. Yeah, I can summon me a cat any day.
Go to Harper's. She throws better seances.
Oh, well, if you have a real ghost story that you would like to share with us, please do. Call it in at 855-853-4802. Write it down at realghoststoriesonline.com. Become a premium subscriber if you'd like and get those advanced episodes. Get access to the archive and no commercials. Sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.